Hey, good morning, West Campus. Thank you so much for tuning in today. We're going to continue our sermon series through the book of Philippians. I want to just encourage you, while we're in this sermon series, take time during the week and read along with the sermons. Read through this book. It's only four chapters. And next week, we have a surprise for you. We ordered a bunch of little books of Philippians with space for notes. So we're going to be giving those out. So make sure to come get it, and now you really have no excuses not to read along. Well, when I was a young kid, I don't know if you remember these, but my parents got an old video camera. The thing weighed 250 pounds. It was about 4 feet by 4 feet. You had to throw it on your shoulder, and as kids, we thought it was the most amazing thing ever. So me and my cousins, we got together, and we all love like war movies, action movies, and we thought, you know what, we're going to make our own. And so my parents' backyard had some woods in it and some, you know, cool landscapes, so we went back there, and we filmed our own action movie. It was incredible. In fact, it was so good, the only thing I remember about it is that in one scene, I was swinging around a pair of nunchucks. Or nunchuck, how do you say that word? Whatever it is, you know what I'm saying. It's a tough one. but it was an amazing piece of cinema history that by God's grace is gone forever. But you know, if you were someone who was serious about acting, and you had the choice between being the star of a homemade movie or a background person in a big production, the choice would be pretty easy, right? It'd be way better to be part of a Steven Spielberg production, even if you had a minor role, versus being the main role of a production that you and your cousins make. And the reality is because it's way better to be part of something bigger and more important and more grand. And I think we all, if we really loved acting and wanted to pursue that and be in that career, we would all say, yeah, I'd rather have a minor role in a Steven Spielberg movie. And we're going to see today that, in a sense, that choice is always before us in our life. You can have the starring role in your life, but here's the reality. If you do, it's going to be a very janky production. It's going to be very, very uninteresting and low budget. And something that you'll probably be ashamed of and don't want anyone ever to see. On the other hand, God always invites us to be part of his bigger story, of his grander plan, of his grander purpose. And when we make our lives about that, we say, God, I don't have to have the starring role. I just want to be part of this big production that you're doing in this world. Here's what I believe. You will always find more joy in that place. When you and I decide that we're not going to be the star of our own movie anymore, but we're going to have a role in God's bigger movie, there is far greater joy in that. And we're going to see that the Apostle Paul, he ties his story to God's story. And in a difficult and challenging time in his life, he finds tremendous joy and purpose in that. I want to talk about how we can do the same thing today. Now, we're going to look at the second half of Philippians chapter 1. So through this sermon series, we're just going right through the book of Philippians. I'm going to try and read every verse to you. So get comfortable. I got a lot of text to read to you today, but it's so powerful and it's so good. And here's how it goes. Philippians chapter 1, starting at verse 12. The Apostle Paul writes to this ancient church. He says, I want you to know, my dear brothers and sisters, that everything that has happened to me here has helped to spread the good news, the gospel, the message of Jesus. And everything that's happened to him is his arrest and imprisonment. So if you remember from last week, Paul is writing this from a Roman prison cell. He's been wrongfully convicted. He's been bullied and intimidated and lied about, and it's landed him in jail. And he says, hey, guys, I want you to know everything that's happened to me, all this drama, all this injustice, believe it or not, it's actually helped to spread the good news of Jesus. He says, here's how. For everyone here, including the whole palace guard, all these Roman soldiers that I'm chained to, that watch over me, they know I'm in chains because of Christ. They can't leave their duty, so I talk their ear off about Jesus. I'm not wasting this opportunity. And because of my imprisonment, most of the believers have gained confidence and boldly speak God's message without fear. People look at me and they say, man, Paul, he's living it. He's not intimidated. He's not afraid. He's not backing down. You know what? Maybe I can be more bold too. And they're becoming more bold. He said, but it's also true that some are preaching out of jealousy and rivalry. Some are manipulating this moment. Others preach Christ with pure motives. They preach because they love me, for they know I've been appointed to defend the good news. Those others who do not have pure motives, as they preach about Christ, they preach with selfish ambition, not sincerely, intending to make my chains more painful to me. Some are trying to kick me while I'm down in this. Verse 18. But that doesn't matter. Whether their motives are false or genuine, the message about Christ is being preached either way, so I rejoice. I don't care why they're doing it. I don't care if they're trying to hurt me. Here's what they don't know. They're still preaching Christ. And in that, I rejoice, and I'll continue to rejoice. For I know that as you pray for me and the Spirit of Jesus Christ helps me, this will lead to my deliverance. Someone just put in the chat, invincible joy. You can't keep this man down. You can't take his well-being away from him. You can't stop him from rejoicing, even in the manipulation and the maliciousness of others. He still sees God's plan at work moving forward. He says, I'm still drawing joy from that. For I fully expect and hope that I will never be ashamed, but that I will continue to be bold for Christ as I have been in the past. And I trust that my life will bring honor to Christ, whether I live or die. Look at this. For to me, living means living for Christ, and dying is even better. I like the ESV. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Win or win. You kill me, I win. I go and be with Christ. You don't kill me, I keep speaking Christ, and more people know him. And the message, I can't lose here in this scenario. I'm happy either way. But if I live, I can do more fruitful work for Christ. So I really don't know which is better. I'm torn between two desires. I long to go and be with Christ, which would be far better for me. I could be done with sin and struggle and pain. But for your sakes, it's better that I continue to live. But for the church's sake, I think it's better that I live. Knowing this, I'm convinced that I will remain alive so I can continue to help all of you grow and experience the joy of your faith. Paul says, I got a lot of joy in my faith, but I want to stick around so I can help you find that same joy in your faith. That's what we're talking about today in this series. And when I come to you again, you'll have even more reason to take pride in Christ Jesus because of what he is doing through me. Above all, you must live as citizens of heaven. See, the ancient city of Philippi was granted Roman citizenship. This was a prestigious honor. They were just basically a miniature Rome, and this was a place of status and privilege. And Paul says, I know you know all the benefits and blessings, and you feel this weight of responsibility to represent Rome and their culture and all that. But above that, you are a citizen of heaven. You represent the kingdom of Christ. So conduct yourself in a manner worthy of the good news about Christ. Then whether I come and see you again or only hear about you, I will know that you are standing together with one spirit and one purpose. You're not fighting. You're not getting divided over silly things, but you're fighting together for the faith, which is the good news, the gospel. Don't be intimidated in any way by your enemies. This will be a sign to them that they are going to be destroyed, but that you are going to be saved, even by God himself. For you have been given not only the privilege of trusting in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. Those words, we're going to talk about those at the end, but those are powerful words. Paul says, it's a privilege to suffer for Christ. We are in this struggle together. You have seen my struggle in the past. You know that I'm still in the midst of it. Lot of verses there. So much good stuff to talk about. But because our time is short, I want to just give you the big outline of this passage and the big theme of this passage that I see today. And the theme is that the gospel, the message of Jesus, when you stop being the star of your own movie and you become, you own a role in God's story, then you step into this big story of the gospel, of the message of Jesus, of the purpose of Jesus. And when you step into that, it begins to change your story. You begin to see it a different way. It inverts your story, and you find greater currents of joy, greater places of joy that you can draw from. The gospel, it inverts our story, creating unlikely joy. What do I mean by that? Paul opens and he says, hey, everything that's happened to me, they thought that they were stopping me. They thought that they were shutting me up. They thought that they were snuffing out the cause of Jesus. All the Jewish leaders that have been so upset about our bold preaching and the lives that have been changed and the miracles that have happened, they thought if they could just put me away, they could lock me up, and they could throw away the key, that it would stop this message of Jesus from growing. But Paul says it's done just the opposite. They thought they were putting this out, but they were actually fanning this. And so Paul says the gospel is moving forward. That what they thought they were stopping, they're actually accelerating. And Paul says, I see everything that has happened to me in that way, and I see the gospel moving forward. That's what I call the inverting power of the gospel. It's where you look at what's going on in your life, and you could look at it one way. You could see it from one perspective. Paul could look and say, man, I'm bound by these chains. I'm bound by these cell walls. I'm bound by these guards that are watching my every move and making sure that I don't get away. But Paul says, but what they think is bounding me is actually advancing the gospel. It's an inversion. It's a different way of understanding what's happening in our lives. Paul says, my chains have become a catalyst for the gospel. And he says there's two big ways. Number one, there's all these Roman soldiers. They're guarding me. But what they don't know is that I'm actually guarding them for the purpose of the gospel. That when they have a shift change and a new guy comes and he locks his leg with my leg, and he's got to sit there for 8 hours. I have an opportunity to understand his story and to share with him the story of Jesus. And then that man goes home, and some of these men are getting changed, and they're going home, and they're telling their families, and they're telling their other coworkers. And before I know it, there's this wave that is going out from this prison cell of people that are getting connected to Jesus. Paul says it's going out that way. And then he says, people see my courage. They see my example. They see that I'm not backing down. I'm not allowing myself to be intimidated. And they have courage to keep speaking the name of Jesus. And what this shows me, church, and what I want you to think about in your life today, is that you may be in a place that you don't want to be. And you might be stuck to something you don't want to be stuck to. You're probably not literally in a cell, and you're probably not literally shackled. But you might feel like you're in a cell, and you might feel like you're shackled. But here's what I want you to see today. Maybe that cell and maybe that shackle is God's means of advancing the gospel through you in a unique way if you would look at it differently. Maybe the things that we think we're stuck with, the places that we feel like we can't move forward in, maybe those are actually the avenues through which God is going to slingshot the gospel in our lives to other people. And when you see them that way, doesn't it look differently? I wonder if Paul had a moment where he looked at those cell walls and he didn't just see a cell, but he saw changed lives. He saw the Roman world beginning to be recreated from the inside out, from the most hardened soldiers out to the rest of society. And maybe he looked at those walls and began to see a beauty in them. And maybe today, friends, there is a beauty in the walls that feel like they're pressing in on us. Maybe there is an inversion that God wants to create in some of our circumstances and some of the things that you just say, Chet, I'm tied to this thing. I don't want to be tied to it. I want God to untie me from it. I keep asking him. He's not doing it. Well, maybe it's because of this. Maybe because it's necessary for the advancement of the gospel. And maybe if we see it that way, we'll have a different relationship with it. I love what J.A. Mateer said. He said, "Why should it have been easier for Paul than it is for us to leave the path of self-pity, to talk more of Christ than our complaints, and to accept each and every circumstance as the place of duty he has appointed?" That is so powerful to me. Because if you read about the life of Paul, and you read Paul's letters, Paul had plans. He wanted to go to Spain. He wanted to go to these other places. And he wanted to go and he wanted to bring the gospel to those areas. But this imprisonment seemed to stop all that. Or at least it did from his perspective. But from God's perspective, it might have been the thing necessary to take the gospel even further than Paul had dreamed. See, sometimes our cell is actually not about us. And it's not about God making our life comfortable and easy, but it's actually about God making our life fruitful for the gospel. And would you and I be willing maybe to endure some of our disappointments and some of our frustrations and be tied to some things we don't really want to be tied to if we knew that behind the scenes God had a bigger story and it was a story of the gospel moving forward through us? Then would we say yes to it? And I think we would. And Paul began to understand his story differently because now it wasn't just the story of Paul in a cell chained to some Roman soldier who smelled bad. No, now it was a story of the gospel going further than he ever dreamed possible from that place of confinement. And maybe your story right now, you've just saw your side of it. You saw the home video side of it, which you could create and understand. But maybe today you need to let God invert that story. And maybe we can begin to see his plan and purpose in the midst of it. There's another inversion in this passage. It's the inversion of the manipulators, what I call it. Paul says, I'm in the cell, but the gospel's going forward. But he says, but there's this other reality going on, is that some people are seeing what's happening. They're preaching the gospel. It's great. They have pure hearts. They're trying to honor Jesus. They're trying to honor me. So, but there's this whole other crowd of people. And they're up to no good. They know that I'm in a difficult spot and they want to add insult to injury. They're taking the message that I love and they're acting like they love it too, but they don't. And they're seizing opportunities to manipulate that message, to manipulate the movement of Jesus, and to gain selfish advancement through it. And if you're someone who genuinely loves something, like Paul loves the gospel, then one of the hardest things is to see someone take something you love and manipulate it for selfish purposes. Nothing will drive you crazier. And this is happening to Paul, and they're trying to hurt Paul, and they're trying to be deceitful and dishonest and all that. But here's what Paul does. Paul says, I know what they're doing. I see through the act. They may be deceiving other people, but they're not deceiving me. But Paul said, but guess what? What does it matter to me? Church, some of us today, you will be set free by that verse alone right there. What does it really matter? Sometimes the things that we freak out about, that we let rob our joy, if you just take a step back sometimes and ask yourself, what does it really matter? it can stop stealing your joy. Because sometimes our joy doesn't actually have to be stolen. We just give it up. We hand it over. And we hand it over at the wrong times and for the wrong reasons and to the wrong people. And Paul said, you know what? I'm not doing that. In fact, I'm not only holding on to my joy, but I'm going to ramp it up. Because here's what these guys don't realize, that all press is good press. And that the more that they speak the name of Jesus, the more the name of Jesus becomes known. And they might not be new to it from the right reasons or from the right heart, but it doesn't matter because the word of Jesus is still getting out there. And he said, I rejoice in that and I will continue to rejoice in that. And he says, and I know this, my eager expectation is that God will rescue me from this situation. Paul said, I look at my past, what's brought me here, and I see the inverting power of the gospel in it. They thought they were stopping it. It's moving forward. Paul says, now I look at my present. Now I'm dealing with these haters and with these deceivers and these malicious people. But guess what? Guess what I see? I see the inverting power of the gospel at work. They think that they're making it worse for me. All they're doing is making it better for the kingdom of God and his church. All they're doing is pushing it forward. So guess what? I'm not upset. I'm happy about it. I'm rejoicing, and I'm committed to continuing to rejoice. And I wonder in our present, in our past, if we brought the inverting power of the gospel to our situations. Maybe what we're letting become frustrations to us, become points of disappointment, maybe people that are bothering us, maybe if we just let the gospel invert that situation in our perspective, maybe there would be joy to be found, just like Paul found joy. I rejoice and I will continue to rejoice, because here's what I know is true. If you love Christ and if you love his gospel and if you are orienting your life to make Jesus known in greater and greater ways, there is always a silver lining. There is always the greater story of God at work in whatever your situation is, in whatever my situation is, and there is always a handhold that I can grab onto of joy. And Paul says, I keep finding them. I find them for my past. I find them for my present. And I'm going to find them for my future too. J.A. Mateer again, he said, no moment will ever be like this. This present moment in your life, you will not have this moment ever again. He says, so let there be something for Jesus in it. That moment in that cell, Paul could never get back. So how should he spend it? Kicking the cell walls? Cussing at the Roman soldier connected to him? Screaming about his injustice, feeling sorry for himself. No, Paul says, here's how I'm going to spend this moment. I love this. This is so powerful. I am going to rejoice that all that they're trying to stack against me is just moving the purpose of Christ even further. I'm going to sit here. You're not going to find a happier guy in any cell in the whole Roman world. Because I'm going to find my joy in the story of the gospel in the past, present, and future. And that joy is real. And I'm going to keep finding it. And then there's one last inversion. It's the inversion of the unknown. In these verses, Paul says, to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. In other words, he says, I don't know what my future holds. Do I appeal this? And I get in front of Caesar, or I get in front of the right Roman council, and they realize this is all bananas, and they let me free? I don't know. Or do I face my end in execution? I don't know. I don't know. And don't you hate the unknown? Don't you wish that you had the full script of your life from God and you knew every scene and everything that was going to happen, and you could just be prepared, and I would love that. And isn't it interesting that the parts of our future we most want to know are the most unknown? The parts that are least important to know are usually the ones that are easier to know. Like, what's the weather going to be tomorrow? Probably going to be this. I mean, that's a little difficult in Northeast Ohio, but you can at least get closer. But what choices are my kids going to make? What's going to happen globally? Are there going to be more pandemics? Is this going to be something that we have to face again? The big things that we want to know are most unknown. But here's what Paul says. He says, whatever the unknown is, I win either way. Because for me, to live is Christ. They've done everything they can to stop me. Guess what? It hasn't worked. And so whatever the else they want to throw at me, if I'm still alive, I know what my mission is. I'm going to keep doing it. I love this mission. I love seeing someone's face light up for the first time when they get that Christ died and rose again for them. Paul says, I love it, and I'm going to keep doing it. Nothing's going to stop me. And if I die, I'm going to go out with courage and nobility. And then I'm going to be with Christ, the one that I love. Paul says, it's win-win. And church, can I tell you, when you and I are connected to the bigger story of the gospel, it's always win-win. It's always win-win. Whatever circumstances you and I face, I'm not trying to minimize the pain and tragedies that we experience, but I do want to point you to the bigger picture. It's always win-win. The gospel wins. Jesus wins. The purpose of God wins. It may be accomplished through all kinds of dark and difficult, and you might walk through the valley of the shadow of death and all that, and it's not easy and it's not pleasant, and I don't wish it on you, but here's what I know. It's win at the end, because Jesus always wins. And so Paul says, I'm going to face the unknown with win-win. Through the gospel, I win either way. Through the gospel today, if your hopes and dreams happen in this life, you win. And the grace of God is going to help you to handle those dreams with humility and with wisdom and with righteousness. If your hopes and dreams in this life don't happen, don't transpire, you still win, because that means God has greater ones for you. You win. You win. And it means that you are trying to fill yourself in something that only Christ can fill in your soul. And so now you'll know that you were fixated on the wrong thing. But guess what? You win. Because in the unknown, the gospel will always lead us to what is right and good. So how do we face the unknown? Through the gospel. Well, Paul says, number one, live worthy of the good news of Jesus. Live your life worthy. What does it mean? It means that we face the unknown by raising our level of integrity. I do not always live worthy to the gospel. I want to. I want to get better. There's a big gap between my life and the worthiness of the gospel. But guess what? Every day I'm committed to making that gap smaller. And it's getting there. Some days I got to take a few steps forward because I took a few steps back. But you get what I'm saying. It's moving in the right direction by God's grace. And I'm committed to that. Paul says, live your life worthy. Face the unknown. Here's what you need to focus on. Not controlling the outcomes of your life, but building up your integrity. He said, face the unknown by being committed to furthering the gospel. Have you ever just said in your heart, God, this life is yours. Use it for your glory. Whatever you do with my life, I'm good with it. As long as it glorifies you. That's how we face the unknown as Christians. Lord, it's yours. Use it. I will trust you and I will walk with you. How do we face the unknown? Paul says, face the unknown by standing united together with oneness. We face the unknown by standing with people, not against them. By linking arms with our brothers and sisters and instead of trying to always fight with people and, you know, see the worst in them and all that kind of thing, but we say, no, I'm going to figure out people that I can be united with that have a gospel heart to, and we are going to move forward the purpose of Christ in our generation. We face the unknown without being easily intimidated or afraid. Paul said, don't be afraid. And how beautiful would it be to see followers of Jesus lead the way in courage in our world? You know, it always disappoints me when I give in to the fear-mongering of our world. And that happens everywhere, church. And it's so easy to just live our lives cowardly and timidly and to just always, just never really go for it or never to face the future with a Christ-honoring faith. Paul says, face the unknown with courage. Don't be afraid. And wouldn't it be beautiful if the world would look at the church and say, you know what? The church is a courageous place. It's a bold place. It's a place of God-honoring courage. I think that would be powerful. And then he says, face the unknown, knowing that suffering for Christ is an honor, not a punishment. Now, I don't know about you. Those last verses made me uncomfortable. I don't like suffering. I try to avoid it at all costs. But the Bible is very clear. There are all kinds of reasons God allows it into our lives. Some of our suffering is our own decision-making. I didn't turn my homework in. I failed that class. God did not bring that suffering. My own laziness brought that suffering, right? Sometimes that's what it is. Sometimes suffering is refining. God allows some pain in our life so that we're humbled, that we're refocused on what needs refocus. Some of our suffering is beyond comprehension. And I can't put it into words or language. And Paul says, and some of our suffering is actually Christ honoring you. Isn't that a crazy thought? That some of it is Christ saying, hey, I bled for you. And the cross, the place of the greatest humiliation, has now become a symbol of exaltation. And now I am going to allow you to be part of this powerful story of suffering to glory. And Paul says, I just want you to know, sometimes the pain in our life, not every time, not all pain, please don't hear that at all, but certain kinds, and sometimes is actually God bestowing on us an honor. And I want to see some of those realities in my life more that way. I want to get out of always the poor me, wah, 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 Lord, oh, I'm complaining about this. And I want to begin to understand the inverting power of the gospel. Paul says, whatever's ahead is honor and glory in the message of Jesus going forward. So let's go forward boldly. Paul says, I have joy. I look at the future with hope. I look at it with boldness. I look at it with courage. I look at it knowing that no matter what is ahead, I am just more committed to Jesus being known through my life. And you will not stop me or slow me down. Church, could we tap into that joy and that strength today? I remember when I was younger in ministry, few weeks ago, I was talking with a friend who we did ministry together during that season. And I remember so many times in that season of my life, I was doing a young adult ministry, I was frustrated so much. And I didn't have a lot of joy. And after every Sunday night that we would do service and people would come, I was so focused on who didn't come versus who came. I was so focused on what God wasn't doing versus what God was doing. And that whole season, I was externally fine, but internally miserable. And it wasn't anyone's fault except mine. And I went through that season, and I look back on it with regret. And here's what my regret is, that I didn't enjoy it, that I didn't cherish it, that I didn't allow myself to see and to celebrate and to build all the beautiful things that God was doing. And when I was talking to my buddy, we were talking about all the beautiful things that God did and the lives that got changed, that 10, 15 years later, they're changed. It's real gospel work. Jesus showed up and did some stuff. But here's what I'm telling you today, church. I didn't experience any of the joy of it because I was so caught up in my own story and not the story of the gospel. And I've carried that lesson with me. And today I feel like I am way more able to enjoy what God is doing in our church because God, guess what? He's in our church. He's doing beautiful things. Guess what? Christ, the good news of Jesus, just like it was going through forward through Paul, it's going forward through our church. It's beautiful. It's awesome. There's people being reached that others never thought was possible. And I'm committed to enjoying this season with a deeper and greater joy because I know the stupidity of not doing that. I know the stupidity of getting lost in my story instead of getting lost in the joy of God's story. And maybe today some of you can learn from my failure. Maybe today some of us can see that God is at work. It's good. It's beautiful. That what we're chained to, what we're tied to, what people are saying about, that all of that is actually a gateway to God working through our life to change people's eternity. And could we find and savor the joy of all that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for Paul's example, for Paul's wisdom, for Paul's words. Father, I pray for myself. I pray, Lord, that I would choose to move towards the joy of the story of the gospel. I pray, Lord, that where we are small-minded, where our perspective is small, when we can't see beyond the cell walls and the chains around our feet, I pray we can see the story of Jesus breaking through, breaking into new ground, reaching hearts, doing things in our families, in our friends, in our church, in our community. And I pray, Lord, we could see and draw the joy of you in it, through it, and from it. Would you bless us, Lord, to find this joy that Paul found, to live from the strength of it, and to go forward into the future with the right heart and the right mind. I ask all this in the great name of Jesus. Amen.